thank you very much for talking to us this morning, George.
Thank you for having me.
We are really excited to release True History of the Kelly Gang in cinemas. This film has been around for a little while. You premiered it in Toronto, is that right?
Yeah. So we premiered it in September in Toronto. Oh, wow. So it was it's been a wee while in the works and everything, but it's just so exciting that it's getting a release now, especially with yourself, with Picture House.
Absolutely. I think we love Justin Kurzel's films, so it's always a treat to have a new one of his movies coming out. Was that what attracted you to the film?
Yeah, definitely. It was a number of things, but particularly Justin's work. Like, I think Snowtown genuinely is the most affected I've ever been in a cinema. Like, I woke up with that film the next day. And I remember when I saw it, I was just amazed. And so then I remember as well when I actually auditioned for a role in his Macbeth. And I remember when the audition came through, and it was like Michael Fassbender, Marion Cotillard doing Macbeth with Justin Kurzel. I was like, oh my God. And I loved that Macbeth as well. Mm. And the audition, I just was thrilling. Like, he really puts you through your paces. So when the opportunity came up to audition for Ned, it's a Justin Kurzel film, but also thinking like, you've got that feeling of like Justin's going back to Australia. Mm. It's this, and also it was a time where earlier that year, I'd had this conversation with my dad, where my dad's from Australia, he's from Adelaide, and he had told me about his childhood. I'd asked about his childhood, and he'd told me about it, and I realised I'd never really asked, because he came to England when he was 21, and we grew up here, and so I kind of, you just see for so long, often you just kind of see your parents as your parents. You forget that they were once children and that there was a place that shaped them and experiences that shaped them. And I was just felt this, I was so sort of moved by this conversation that my dad told me and all the things he said. I felt this yearning to go back there. And I felt that year. And then so when the opportunity to play Ned Kelly, who again has this strong Irish connection as well, and I kind of think I wish I was more Celtic than English, with this Irish-Australian connection about someone who's trying to suss out themselves as a man at that stage of life where you're kind of looking back and you're looking forward and you're in the middle of those two sort of polarizing views and sort of movements. It just felt so right in a way, and I just wanted it so much. So I was lucky enough to get in the room to audition for Justin, and that audition truly is the maddest audition I've ever had. Like, it was, I remember coming out of it, because I was working on another job at the time, and I only had an hour. I came back in, and I was actually come from Prague where I was working, and I got in at about 9:15, and the audition was 9 till 10, and then I had to leave to get on a flight to go back for rehearsals. And it was this hour, and I remember hopping on the train afterwards to get back to the airport and calling my agent, being like, I think I've been put through my paces more in this hour than I have done for years. Like, properly, Justin just gives you gives you a completely different context to that which with the names that go on top of it. And that gives the scene this amazing double level. Like, this conversation now, it'll be like, right, this is, he'll give me a narrative and he'll give you a narrative, and it completely will change this interview. It will be like, it really is kind of simple but brilliant, like acting lessons in a way of like, this man has stolen £1 million from you, and if you don't scare him in this interview, you won't, before he leaves the room, you're going to lose that money, you're going to lose your family. And so every word then changes, and you have a very clear thing that you're playing, which is completely at odds with the dialogue that you're saying. And that double level as an actor is just so fun to play. And it wound up with this kind of mad improvisation, and it just went, just took it to all these places I had never even considered the role would go to. So that's a very long answer to be like, I've wanted to work with Justin for so long, and it's been such a privilege to do so.
It sounds like, after wanting it for so long, it's delivered as well.
Yeah, well, and also there was this whole process beforehand where basically Justin offers the opportunity to really commit. Like, that's what's exciting with him as a director, as well as just visually he's so incredible, but he wants to give you an experience, and he wants to, as the actor as well as the audience, and for you to transform and become something. And he knows that to properly become something, that takes work, and so he gives you the work that he wants you to do, and it's up to you to go and do it. So he I got cast actually in the summer of 2017, and we were going to rehearse and shoot at the very beginning of 2018. And I, so I had the time at the end of that year. I went to Australia for 3 months because he gave me this to-do list of like, I want you to work on a ranch. I want you to work, work on a station. I want you to ride horses. I want you to write every day as Ned, poems, diary entries, all of this stuff. Just get to know, just get your thoughts down and let those thoughts become his thoughts. I want you to, he gave me pages of Aussie films to watch, Aussie music to listen to, a lot of punk music. And then paid, wrote like books and books of history about Ned Kelly, the man himself, and as well as colonial history of Australia. And I went, had this amazing few months of research. Like I went to Ireland, where his dad was from, and rode horses there. And I went to Australia, and through dear friends, met another dear friend, and who's become a dear friend, lived on their farm for weeks and worked on the farm and like worked with horses every day. And I went and chopped wood in Tasmania near where Justin lives. And I lived with Justin and Essie for a wee while. And he gave us this, we had to transform how we looked. So we were on this gym regime. We just kind of really went in on it. And then basically I did that for 3 months, and then the money fell through. So I came through and the film folded. So then there was this sort of hiatus, and Justin said, no, look, mate, I promise you we're going to do it in this summer. So it was actually the summer of 2018 we got back to it. But it kind of never left. And I've this thing of, once you understand that sort of commitment and what it sort of does to you and how it feels, kind of thinking, well, you know, if we're going to do this film in 4 months, rather than stop and start again in 4 months, I kind of just keep ticking over with all of this stuff, because you're playing someone who would have lived 24 years. So 4 months, you know, I want to take every minute I can. So I kind of stayed with it, really. I did another project in between, a film called Nuclear, but kind of stayed with Ned. And so it was almost 2/3 of a year by the time we got to filming that you're kind of soaking in this character in different ways. And then when we got there, we had this amazing 4 weeks of rehearsal where we did all kinds of stuff, all kinds of workshopping and character work, and, you know, worked out the aesthetics of the character too. But a big thing, a part of that rehearsal period, is Justin said, I see these, we're going to let go of the history. We're just going to make it in the spirit of these men. And I see these boys as a punk band. So you guys, I've booked you a gig in 3 weeks' time in a bar in Melbourne. And you need to form a band. You need to come up with a name. You need to come up with an album and write 8 songs and perform. And so we used to go to rehearsals every day. And basically a huge part of the rehearsal process would, myself, Sean, Earl and Louis, the Kelly Gang, would put on our dresses, because these boys dress like banshees to as their sort of war armor. And we would put on our dresses and we would jam songs and come up and write songs together. And we came up with a punk gig, and then we went and performed this gig like the week before we started filming. And actually two of the songs have wound up in the film.
Amazing.
So yeah. So it's like this mad experience where, like, at first, when I first read it, I was like, okay, this is this big sort of typical folkloric Irish kind of sort of romantic Australian alpha male kind of thing. But then it turned into this kind of reptilian punk strange mix of everything, you know. So and that's Justin, you know. Justin gave us that
sounds like such a unique experience.
Yeah, it's like nothing else.
Must be the most prep you've ever done for a role.
Yeah. it was, and it's amazing. It's such an interesting feeling. And I think I was just lucky that I was at sort of a stage in my life where I was very able and also really wanted to do that. I was hungry to have that experience and to test out how that felt, you know, to really make something your all. And beautifully, it's like, you know, you make one thing your all, but so many, it's kind of like, you know, it's like, I don't know, without sounding too wanky, it's like you concentrate on one stem of a plant and it flowers off into all these other ways. So you just did Ned, but with Ned came horse riding, came chopping wood, came music, came writing, came travel, came, you know, history. Yeah, it's amazing things, like amazing, so much played into it.
Has it sort of changed how you, for future roles, you know, what things you might look for in the experience? Like, actually, I would like to have this chance to prepare.
Yeah, I think, yeah, definitely. I think that will change sort of as I go through life, you know, as well, like in terms of if I'm lucky to keep working. Also that shifts, you know, if and when you have family and all of that kind of things, where your priorities lie and also what's required, I think. Yeah, so, but it's definitely, I felt, I feel like it's not an obvious equation, like, you know, time spent equals goodness, but I think there is some truth to that.
As long as you feel confident with it.
Yeah, I think, yeah. It just teaches you, you just kind of know every, it's like, it's all the little tiny colours of stuff where it might take weeks of, you know, and basically horse, I lived on a, with this property and rode horses for 6 weeks, and there's about 10 seconds of horse riding in the film. But I feel confident that when we got to that bit, I know that like the back of my hand, and actually being around horses and working with this lovely family who I lived with, you understand loads of different stuff. If I didn't realize how soft my hands were, I kind of confidently went, I'll go to the gym a couple of times a week. I didn't realize how weak I was in terms of just doing up a saddle. You know, like simple lifting that you kind of go, yeah, I can lift dumbbells, but I have no idea how to buckle a saddle. Mm. I've got no idea what it feels like to be around an animal that is more powerful than me. That a horse, when you're on it, they really pick up on your vibe, and so therefore you have to be of a certain kind of quiet mind when you hop up, like when you get up on one. And also there's being around this, my friend Jeff, who's an incredible horseman. He's so gentle but similarly so authoritative, because they can completely tell, you know, if you mean where you want to go or not. There's got to be you've kind of got to think it through. And that was such an insight into Ned, because Ned was known to be a great horseman. And even if there's only 10 seconds of actual horse riding in the film, that kind of quiet confidence spoke volumes of the man, you know, and this version of the man as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm always impressed when people are like acting on horseback, because there's, you have to do the actual horse riding,
which
is a feat into itself, as well as everything else you need to be aware of when you're sort of doing a role.
Yeah. And I think that's the thing. And that's something that Sam said in 1917. He was like, you need to just do these things again and again and again, whatever it is, even if it's, you know, loading your rifle so that when you come to do it, you're not thinking about it. Like in the same way that, you know, you do your pass, but our equivalent is like a passcode on our phone. We don't even think about it. You go with your thumb and you're there. But it's just like they needed to be like that, but just with different materials in their hands.
I got to see 1917 a couple of times at the cinema, because I kept taking people. And my parents like, have you seen that 1917? And I was like, yeah, it's huge. Okay, well, we'll go. It was little things like that. Like in there's a scene in the trench where you have to bandage up. It's like, how did you do that? Because you don't even look at it.
I tell you what, that fridging water bottle beforehand, that was like, it was because it was always the small stuff that would like, you know, that would take apart a take. I made that scene a lot about the water bottle. It didn't need to be about the water bottle before the scene, the take that's in the film. The bandage was all right, but it was that water bottle getting it in and out, the little pouch. But that's the thing. I took away the webbing with me and had it in the hotel room for a while before, of just like practicing taking it in and out, in and out, in and out, in and out. And the costume did make that. There was one particular for that shot that the water bottle holder has been made like half an inch bigger so that it can slip in, because it's really tricky to get in and out.
That's a true sort of cinema bit of trickery there.
Yeah.
So after all of the prep and being with Ned Kelly for such a long time, what was it like when you took the film to, you know, the film festivals and have started to screen it to a real audience?
It's really exciting, actually, because this film really means a lot to me, and it means a lot to everyone making it. And I've just sort of talked about my experience on it, but everyone went at it with their all. Mm. Everyone really, I think it was really formative for a lot, for everyone involved, really. And we feel so much, I think in the film is pretty, you know, there's a lot of violence in it. There's a lot of brutality in the world in general, but there's so much love in it, that, and it's a sort of sideways love, and it's a kind of all-encompassing love, and it's a love that sort of confuses them into doing not always the right thing as well. It's not letting them off the hook for some of the bad things, which are just bad things, but the love, what I love about the film is it feels like love in all of its forms. It's like a family love, it's sexual love, it's platonic love, in terms of all the relationships between Ned and his mum, Ned and his father, Ned and his best mate, Ned and his woman. Like, you know, you've got, there's this love to the film for me, even though it's sort of hard to kind of feel that or sort of witness it in the surface level actions of all these characters. And there is, so therefore in the doing of it, there's this love. And so to be sharing it with people now is really, really cool, because I'm so proud to be a part of it. Like, so proud to be a part of something that feels like, I don't mean it as a sort of I don't know, in any sort of like patronizing way, but like a Justin Cazale film. I don't mean to pigeonhole it too much, but I think Justin's style is his own, and it feels like this is very much in the breed of Snowtown and Macbeth, and that kind of wild visual sort of really kind of elemental kind of filmmaking and kind of raw. So I'm just really proud to share it with folk.
Absolutely. Well, it is like a, you know, Justin Cazale is a family operation as well.
Yeah.
You know, you've got Jed and Essie and stuff.
Yeah.
It sounds like actually you've become part of this extended
family
by doing it.
It is. And he talked about, I loved spending time with Justin when we were kind of getting to know each other at the beginning of the process, you know, just driving around Victoria, the state of Victoria, and him telling me about the process of Snowtown as well. And what he did with Dan Henshaw to create the character of John Bunning. I think it's Bunning or Bunting. Bunning, I think. Forgive me for getting that wrong. But that for what he did to transform Daniel, and like the way that because they were also working with people in Snowtown who some of the cast hadn't acted before, and so there needed to be this community vibe that echoed the community vibe in the in the film. That again it's a very dark community, and it's a community that sways off into a very evil place. But it's there's embedded in that at first is this need for connection, and Justin made sure that Daniel made sure that that all happened, and that's what he wanted with this, and that's what the band was about. As much as it was kind of, he didn't expect the songs to wind up in the film or anything. He said at first, the first thing he said is this is a way to listen to each other, because you need to have one, you need the attitude, you all need to sort of punk up a bit, and two, you need to be aware of each other in your peripheries. You need to be kind of essentially all over each other, and you are when you're playing music together, because you're trying to keep a beat. You're trying to, Justin does create a family.
What stayed with you from that experience? All of the prep, from the wood chopping and the punk band.
I think the writing, actually. I really enjoyed writing and enjoyed being given a reason to write, and found that really joyous and brilliant and lovely to have a kind of vehicle that was this character. And there was so much learning of, got to mention Peter Carey's book that it's based on. Although it's got the soul of Peter Carey's book, it's very different to Peter's book. But Peter's done an incredible thing in creating a voice of a man. Like, you know, the whole book has no punctuation barely. Right? Oh, wow. It's got a couple of full stops at the end of paragraphs. But it's written in as if he is someone who has left education very young, is kind of learning the language of his land, is the language, the kind of colloquialisms that he uses are that of his experience of being out in the bush and all that, and reading that and kind of being inspired by that. I loved writing as Ned, and it's something that I'd like to try and I have kind of kept up and would like to try and keep up more, in whatever form that takes.
That sounds great. Yeah. Well, thanks very much, George. Great to have you on the podcast, and looking forward to screening the film in our cinemas.
Ah, grand. Thank you for having it.
Cheers.